And now, what you've all been waiting for, it is officially 7:31. And that means Alice and I are super stoked to be joined in the studio by Louise Terra. Over the last 6 years, Louise has been performing as a vocalist for Sugar Fed Leopards. She released a few early singles under the guise Bright Fight, but since 2016 has become Louise Terra. Earlier this month, Louise, with a new explorative and dense electronic sound, has released her new single, Nature Calling. How's it going, Louise?
Hi, I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Now, over the past years, as Siobhan mentioned, you've had a couple of artist name changes, settling on Louise Terra in 2016. Nature Calling, is also the first bit of new stuff you've put out in a couple years. Have you been active in that time off? And what has inspired this new single?
Well, a lot of questions. I will go chronologically. No, it's so fine. talking about what I've been doing these last few years, I have been in the Sugarfed Leopards, and that has been really the focus of my musical activity in a lot of ways. And when I haven't been doing Sugarfed Leopards, I've been making electronic music at home.
Right.
And what's really gone on for me in these last few years is that I've just been working really nerdily hard at getting my production skills better, and it just takes a long time for that to really drop in. Like, I've been making electronic music for about 10 years, but I feel like in the last few years I've just worked really hard. I've just buckled down. I've been like, do you want this or not? And, you know, I'm really pleased to have sort of gotten through like that kind of learning patch, because it just takes time. So I was really happy to release some tracks in 2016, and I have had a bunch of music that in that time between then and now that I was like, oh, I'd really like to release it, but I just had to work it more. I just had to for myself. And so, yeah, it's just like the reason I'm releasing stuff now is I'm finally happy with where my sound is at and what where my production skills are at, how that's reflected in the music. I feel like it's finally, I've gotten the sound out that I've been imagining and looking for.
I think it is a really hard skill set that people underestimate.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm really curious, like, do you mainly use software instruments, or do you use a combination of hardware, like drum machines and that kind of thing?
I use a hardware synth. I use everything else I use is software. So when I play live, though, I use vocal effects as well, separate to my software, which is Ableton that I use. Mm-hmm. So I use, like, I make samples that I will use and trigger in Ableton, or I use, like, you know, sample packs that, like, I've got, like, collections that I've collected over years of just, like, vintage drum machine sounds and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's kind of how I piece together my sounds. And, yeah, I think I even underestimated how long it would take me when I started making electronic music. I'd already been mucking around on Ableton, but the level to get to a point of satisfaction with your skills and working alone, like, I think there was just also years where I just didn't know where to turn to reach out for help, and that's really amazing. If you've got a community around you, things go a lot quicker. So it took me a while to kind of realize that as well and be like, I need to ask for help. I'm just sitting here in my studio alone trying to work this out, you know, and then, you know, the YouTube videos really help. But, yeah, there's just nothing like having a community of other electronic music makers who you can turn to and get advice from.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Did I answer everything?
I think so. It'll probably come up later anyway.
Perfect.
So, Nature Calling. It's kind of eerie, sonic, a little dystopian. I've heard that Nature Calling is meant to explore the light and dark parts of ourselves. And I think it's incredible the way you are able to craft a soundscape that can encapsulate and express such complex ideas. Can you explain a little further this concept of venturing further into yourself and how you went about expressing that through these synth-driven sounds you've just talked about?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was writing this song, I was in this kind of particular place of feeling, personally challenged by just being like, what existentially, where am I going? What am I doing with my life? You know, the kinds of regular cyclic kind of periods that we all go through. So I was feeling quite lost and, you know, a little bit on repeat. And I recognized in myself that I really needed to, like, just face whatever this blocking in myself that I was feeling was. And I kind of had to, like, go deep. And that felt new and it felt really scary. And so, and I was writing this song at that time and, actually the synth line, that kind of eerie synth line came out first. And I just was really, I kind of went to a landscape. That's often what happens when I'm creating music, is like I start to imagine where the music is set. And I went to this kind of like place in nature, outdoors, and feeling really like you're kind of being pursued in nature. But actually it's like, the joke's kind of on you because it's actually in your head and you're kind of like just in this battle with yourself. So when I was making it, I just went to this place. I just go to an environment, and so the sounds either belong there or they don't. And it started with that synth sound. So that was kind of this like sharp kind of eerie melody. And yeah, then I just actually, yeah, once I have the location and I have the mood of what's going on, so this sort of weird internal, external pursuit feeling, a kind of a like, really like trying to work it out in a weird way. Like the song is like, you know, I don't know, there's lines in there like, you know, closer apart and coming closer to the heart. And it's almost like about trying to get closer to whatever this, me also trying to understand where this is coming from. So yeah, I think that without getting sort of too dry and boring with details, I just really imagine an environment that the sounds exist in. So I had this place and it was darkness and it was being pursued at nighttime in nature and being kind of in a bit of an alien world. It, you know, often the environments that I'm imagining, they don't always feel like they're here or they're real. Yeah.
So did you actually go and bring your laptop to this particular landscape and come up with the synth there?
I wish I could do that. I wish I had the luxury of just like taking myself out to nature just to produce music in some environment. And not to say that's not something that I wouldn't do at some point, but no, I was in my studio, in my head, in a fantasy landscape, which is really how I write all of my music, in studios, in a fantasy environment.
Well, that's pretty amazing that you can create this whole landscape in your mind in itself.
I'm glad it translates somewhat, you know. Obviously, it's not meant to be too didactic as well. It's meant to be a space that other people inhabit in their own way.
Now, earlier this month, you held a premiere and one night only viewing of the accompanying virtual reality experience to Nature Calling. Sounds pretty sick.
I'm sorry,
very intrigued. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, one night only. I know it's rough. If I would do it. If I could, I would do it more regularly.
How did you kind of come up with this? I'm like, what was the deal?
So, yeah, the deal with this was my friend Rachel Feary, who's a video maker, she suggested that we work on something together for Louise Terror. And when we started talking, we understood that we both had this interest in 360-degree cinema, and it had been something I'd been thinking about and something she'd been wanting to experiment with. It's a very new medium. So this was like, yeah, really, really setting out into a new frontier with no compass, no guidebook, just like working it out as you go. And really, Rachel, as the video maker, was the one really driving that. So I take my hat off to Rachel. If you're listening out there, Rachel Fearer, you're a bloody legend. Sorry. I swore. You're a very, very amazing person. I really respect how hard you worked and how scary it is to work in such an unknown medium. So, yeah, that was it. We both just went, oh, my God, we're both interested in that. And I think we're interested in exploring the new technology and the new frontier of it. And she'd already selected this song to work on, and I think it really fit with the narrative that the song was already laying down, like working in these like this landscape and capturing it in this way. And sorry, I'm talking about you, this as if you know the video clip, but you don't because it hasn't actually been released yet.
I was
going
to ask.
It's kind of a study of an environment and in a way, but it's also, it's really riffing off the point of view of the immersive game situations. Yeah, yeah. So it's taking kinds of technologies that are already exploiting 360, but taking that into a kind of a much more aesthetically driven narrative and working with a video artist in this with these kinds of influences or in styles that are informing it. So it's basically it's a battle in this intense landscape and a kind of a fight for survival, basically. And it's a post-apocalyptic kind of dystopian world. It's like a resource impoverished Earth or a Mars-like landscape. So it's actually a real location where we shot it. And, it's a combination of live video 360 and these graphics that kind of pop up as well. So it kind of messes with both of those simulated and real worlds and sort of poses like what is whether it is a simulation or not, or whether it is this whole other world that exists. So, yeah, that's the clip. But the clip is actually, it's finally going to be available publicly. We're premiering it on a blog called Sun Genre. On Friday it will be out for people to watch. Watch it on your phone if you don't have a VR headset, which I'm assuming most people don't, but some people have like even the cardboard ones, which will totally work. But if you don't, I suggest watching it on your phone because you'll be able to move your phone around in your hand and look at every angle of the video.
That's so awesome.
Very it's pretty exciting.
Technologically advanced. I can't even say the word. I'm that behind.
I went to a Björk exhibition at a contemporary art gallery in Barcelona a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it sounds very similar to what the kind of thing that you're doing in terms of a 360 degree immersive experience, and was very much connecting sound with landscape, with art, with science. And I'm very curious to know what inspires you. Is it like a love of science or a love of combining different visual and sound art forms?
I definitely love biology a lot. I love the natural world a lot, and that is probably like my biggest inspiration, apart from just, you know, the experience, the very I don't know what the word is, like it's not mundane, but sort of like the experiences that we have as human beings, like our emotional and psychological experiences also really inspire me. But the natural world and biology I just find infinitely inspiring, and so that's actually really features a lot in my work as like analogies for experiences or certain feelings, you know, even all the way out to the cosmos. There's just limitless inspiration that you can take from the natural world and really great metaphors and symbolism that I think you can build into other stories. So, yes, definitely nature. But actually, yeah, the audiovisual, the world of audio vision, sound and video or sound and working with other visual mediums, I'm well into. This is like a big, exciting passion for me that I really hope I, and I know I will get more opportunities to explore, but that's would really be a dream come true for me to continue to explore all of the ways that you can bring these mediums, bring sound to a bunch of other visual mediums. Björk is actually like an incredible example
she's
of
amazing.
Doing that. So, you know, in a lot of ways, she's just like already done. And she, the incredible thing about her work is that she's done all of this groundbreaking work with science, nature, technology, art, music, years in advance of it being something that's accessible to most other people. She's really pioneered this work and it's, even though she's done it so well in advance of like the technology being as good as it is now or whatever, all of her work just still is so impeccably well presented. It's just such high quality. It's kind of classic. Like she's setting a benchmark and a precedent for how high you could aim. You know, I'm not privy to the kinds of like resources of humans and finances that she is, but yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet, exactly. Hopefully we get to work together one day, me and Beck.
I feel like I need to tell our listeners that Louise is actually wearing flowers and plants on her pants, as well as green earrings and a green jumper. So she truly does embody nature inside and out.
I'm wearing a lot of green, actually. All kinds of shades of green.
Louise, you've got your official single launch at Horse Bazaar this Saturday. What can we expect from the gig?
So, Horse Bazaar is in itself a pretty exciting, high-tech little venue going on there. They have a 180-degree screen in the venue as well, so they've got the capacity to do quite wild, huge video projections. So, I'll be supported on the night by Plaza, which is like an incredible vocal, a cappella vocal ensemble, and also an artist called Sissy Socks, who plays like kind of amazing, like meditative, dark meditative new wave music. It's really beautiful. Mm. I really love it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing both of those artists. But it's going to also be a fully audiovisual night. So there will be projections running all night. And I have actually collaborated again on with Rachel Feary on Rachel Feary. I just feel like I've asked so much of this amazing woman, Rachel Feary. So Rachel Feary is also doing my visuals on the night, which is a collection of some of the footage that we took on the 360-degree camera and a collection of her previous video artworks that she has reworked to fit the 180-degree format. So, yeah, it'll be a full audiovisual night, and apparently Horse Bazaar is also a Japanese restaurant, so you can also book a table and have some Japanese food.
Perfect. Well, it's been great to have you in the studio with us tonight, Louise. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Very inspiring and insightful stuff.
Thank you.
If you missed the VR video premiere earlier this month, that's okay. You can still head to the official single launch at Horse Bazaar this Saturday, the one we were just talking about. But let's have a listen. This is Nature Calling by Louise Terra. You're on the Hoist on Sin.